Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey, North Point, I hope that you are doing great today. I don't know where you are. Maybe you're sitting in your living room, or maybe you're watching on your phone at work, but wherever you are, you're not alone. You are part of a huge community, really worldwide, that is working out every single day what it is to be a Christ follower. We're so grateful as a church that we get to be a part of the global church all over the world, worshiping today, leaning into God's word, and living out on mission. And, you know, for our church, we have a mission, and that mission is creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. And one of the things we like to do as a community every Sunday morning is we like to say our declaration.
Come on, why don't you join me today? We say this every week by putting our hand over our heart, because that's where this declaration comes from. Come on, why don't you say it with me? I am a child of God. I am loved, adored, and accepted by my Father in heaven. I am forgiven and free. Sin has no hold on me. I am an overcomer, more than a conqueror, full of the Spirit of God, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Holy Spirit, open up my eyes to see, my ears to hear, my mind to understand, and my heart to receive everything that God has for me today. In Jesus' name, come on, put an amen on that today.
That's one of my favorite parts of every single service. I enjoyed doing that with you. That
was, you know, I enjoy sitting here with you.
Absolutely.
With no kids crawling all over us.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
Come on, we might just stay here for a little while after we finish filming.
We might.
Yeah, we might do that.
That's a pretty good idea. Yeah. That's a pretty good idea. Well, you know, the people at home and at work and all of us, we've really been through kind of a unique experience over the last few months. And it's not over yet. We are moving into kind of some new territory. We're seeing things open up a little bit. We're able to go and do more things. But still, I'm looking back and I'm realizing that when we go through crisis, it really shakes us. And we find out what is most important to us.
Well, you know, actually, in the scripture, in Luke chapter 6, Jesus actually tells a story, right? Yeah. And he tells the story about the person who builds their house on the rock versus the person that builds their house on the sand.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we don't really know what we're built on until we face the storm.
It's true.
Till we walk through the adversity, because it reveals to us what our life was really built on, what our foundation was. And Jesus, in Luke chapter 6, he says, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me listening to my teaching and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it was well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. Now, I think the interesting thing here is that Jesus says when the storm comes.
Mm.
It's not if the storm comes. It's not if the challenge arises. It's not if we walk into trouble or trials. It is a matter of when. And when that storm comes, when that challenge comes, and I think we would agree that we are in challenging times, that when the flood waters of adversity rise, in that moment, we will discover, were we built on the rock, or were we without a foundation and just built on the sand?
Absolutely. And I think when we go into those seasons where there is a shaking, we all find out that at least some of our foundations could have been built better.
Yes.
You know, right there, there's kind of an either or story. And that's true. You know, when you have Jesus in your life, there is a huge difference. Mm. But at the same time, when you go through a shaking, suddenly you find out, wait, you know, I built my life on the rock, but maybe I hadn't put the work into my marriage, or maybe I need some work when it comes to my attitude, or maybe I need some assistance when it comes to my physical health, all of these different things. And we can find ourselves looking at things that were shaken loose.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage you, if you went through this season and you really feel like you discovered that your life was actually built on the sand, that's not the end of your story. That's not the end of your story. You can rebuild on a firm foundation. You can decide today that from this point forward, you are going to rebuild on the firm foundation of Jesus's way and Jesus's word, because that's what he says. He says, if you build your life by listening to my teaching and then doing what it says. So if you haven't built that foundation, you have a chance right now to rebuild.
You know, but not only do you have a chance to rebuild if you realize that you're built on the sand, even if you realize, man, I was built on the rock, we have a chance to build stronger. We have a chance to build better. We have a chance to build bigger. This is still an opportunity for growth. You know, I've been teaching people through this that there's three things that should have happened through this adversity. And one is that things get exposed. I think things have been exposed in all of our lives through this time, through the quarantine, through this changing of our pace and changing of the place, right? Yeah. So things get exposed. But not only do things get exposed, things get disposed.
Oh, come on.
Disposed is just putting things in proper alignment, right? And so I think that we've realized, okay, as things get exposed, we realize, oh, man, there was a few things in my life that were just out of alignment.
Yes.
My life was built on the rock as a whole. I'm a believer. I'm walking with God. I'm praying. But man, there was a few things without even maybe me realizing it that had just gotten a little bit out of alignment.
Yeah.
They weren't in the proper place.
Come on, that's
and
so good.
So this time gives me a time to get these things disposed, to put in proper alignment, and then things also get proposed.
So it's
exposed, disposed, and proposed, because now what I get to do is I get to say, okay, I see where my relationships can get better. I can see some things that I've been missing, and I see that I can add some things into my life that are going to make it stronger. So I think that this storm and this adversity, we don't just need to, if we just go, oh, just turn it into a negative, we're going to miss the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Because the opportunity is there for things to get exposed, things to get disposed, and then things to be proposed so that we can actually build stronger for our future.
You know, I'm so grateful for the way you put that, because it's so easy to put my hands around and go, okay, what has been exposed in my life and what needs to be proposed for changes for the future? And, you know, if you discount what has happened in this season, if you use your words to say things like the only good thing that came out of this was, and all of those kinds of things, then you really can miss the good.
Yes.
That's something that we talked about from the very beginning is, man, I don't want to waste a crisis.
That's right.
I don't want to waste a change. I really want to see the good that God wants to bring out of this, because we as Christ followers, we believe that God works all things to the good.
Yeah.
Every single thing. He works all things to the good. And what does that mean? Does that mean he causes all the bad things? No, it means that he brings the good things out. He can bring good from bad. When we talk about rebuilding, though, Philip, there's a beautiful picture in the Bible of the process of rebuilding. And I think really it's a beautiful picture of what it is to grow in your faith.
Yeah.
And to build a foundation for your life.
Yeah, you know, it's a story. We're going to kind of walk through that story now. But the story is found in the Old Testament. And God's people have been removed out of their land. Mm-hmm. They have been conquered. And actually, the city of Jerusalem, God's holy city, has been destroyed. The walls and the gates have been crushed and burned.
Yeah.
The temple was destroyed. But we see as God's people begin to return to Jerusalem, and the first group of people that come back, they're led by this guy by the name of Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, Zerubbabel. Maybe we'll just call him Z, you know, or something. I don't know. But Zerubbabel comes back, and he comes back to rebuild the temple. Mm-hmm. But when he comes back to rebuild the temple, he actually starts by just rebuilding the altar.
Mm.
He rebuilds the altar in Jerusalem for the people to come and make sacrifices. What he does is he really rebuilds the place of gratitude.
Wow.
Right? He builds this place of gratitude so that they can come and they can offer sacrifices and give thanks to their God. And I think it's a beautiful picture of coming out. I mean, these people are coming back into a city that they love.
Yes.
A city that their parents grew up in. They're coming back into this city, and it has been devastated.
Wow.
But out of this, they create this foundation of gratitude.
Mm.
And I think in all of our lives, we need to have this foundation. We need to establish this principle of gratitude.
Absolutely. And as Christ followers, our gratitude starts with understanding who God is and what he has done for us. Not just, you know, sometimes we can say, oh, God's good, and it's related to somehow, you know, physical things that we have. And yes, we should thank God for everything that we have. You know, I love the way that my little girls, as they learn how to pray, one of the first things that they do is they start thanking God for every single thing. Thank God for my teddy bear. Thank God for my Barbie. Thank God for my Play-Doh. And I love that about them, but it's not just about that.
Yeah.
It's about something even deeper, to understand that we were dead in our sin, that we were separated from God because of our sin, and that he sent Jesus. And he sent Jesus not just to rescue us so that one day we could go to heaven, but he sent Jesus so that we could have a relationship with him every single day, so that we could have access to his joy and his peace and his hope, and so that we could have access to his resurrection power, so that we would have the power to bring heaven into earth. That's what Jesus taught us to pray, is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have the opportunity to participate with God in setting things right. And man, that just makes me feel so grateful. Gratitude is the core of Christianity, being grateful to God for who he is and what he has done. And when we're grateful to God, when we understand, like some people say, that Jesus gave me everything, so you don't have to give me anything. I don't need anything from you because Jesus gave me everything. Mm. When we understand that, then we can be really grateful for what other people bring in our lives too.
Yeah, that's right.
We can respond to them out of a core value, out of a core foundation of gratitude. And, you know, gratitude really is the opposite of entitlement.
Yeah.
And entitlement really comes down to just feeling like we don't have what we deserve.
Mm.
I love one of my friends. She always says, aren't you so glad we don't get what we deserve?
Mm.
Because I have messed up so many times in my life, and I have not received what I deserved. Instead, I have received grace.
Mm.
And so out of the gratitude for the grace that I've received, I then extend grace to other people. What a beautiful picture of Zerubbabel coming back in, building that altar, building that temple, starting there in that rebuilding process.
You know, I think there are so many people, though, that are unhappy.
Yeah.
And I think they live unhappy because they have not put this into place in their daily life.
That's so good.
They haven't rebuilt that altar, if you would, of gratitude, of giving thanks on a daily basis. Because when we're unhappy, what we're doing is we're focusing on the things that we don't have.
Yes.
We're focused on the things that are going wrong versus focusing on the things that we do have and the things that are going right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I always like to say that your attitude follows your attention.
Oh, come on.
So whatever you pay attention to is where your attitude is going to go. So if I pay attention to what I do have, if I pay attention to the blessings that are in my life, then I'm going to live in gratitude.
Yes.
But if I pay attention to what I don't have.
Come on.
And I pay attention to those things. My attitude is going to go in that way, and it's going to produce complaining.
Absolutely.
I've just discovered that, you can't live in gratitude and complain at the same time.
Absolutely.
It's not possible. I would go as far to say that, like, gratitude is like the law of increase, or the law of being lifted up. And that complaining is like the law of being sucked down, right?
That's true.
And so whenever we live in this attitude of gratitude, right?
Yeah.
I live in this place of giving thanks. And now just to say that gratitude too, they didn't just build the altar, they actually put things on the altar.
Oh, come on.
So it's not That's just so saying, good. Oh, I'm grateful in my heart. No, I need to be grateful in my actions and be grateful with my words.
Absolutely.
There's gotta be action behind my gratitude. I've gotta put it into play. And I think it's very important. And what I've found is that when you really live in gratitude, you also live in joy and humility.
That's true.
When you live in, when you practice gratitude on a daily basis, you will live in joy. Now, here's the beautiful thing about what the scripture says about joy. It says that the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Mm.
So by me choosing the place of gratitude, I am bringing joy into my heart, which is going to give me the strength I need to live the life that God created me to live.
Yeah.
But let's look at the other side of that. Not being grateful, not building that altar, not putting that into my daily life.
Right.
Now all of a sudden I'm bringing complaining,
okay,
which actually brings weakness into my life.
Yeah.
And now I have more to actually complain about because
right.
I don't have the strength that I need to live the life that I really want to live.
Right.
And it really comes down to this place of gratitude. So gratitude brings this joy that's going to bring this strength. And also gratitude keeps me in the place of humility.
Yeah.
Whenever I realize, man, I'm so grateful for what I have, as you just said, because I didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't have earned this.
Yeah.
I'm just so grateful for this. It keeps me so humble. So then whenever I'm not trying to compare myself to others. I'm not complaining about what I have because I'm so happy to have it. And then I'm not comparing myself to, oh, what he said, what she said, or what he has or what she has. And I'm able to just live humbly and live in humility.
Yeah.
But that really comes from this attitude of gratitude that I've put into my life on a daily basis.
You know, I think that gratitude saves relationships.
Yeah.
It really does. It saves seasons.
Mm.
It's amazing how when you take your focus off of the things that you don't have and you become truly grateful for what you do have. And some people say, well, yeah, but I want to constantly strive to get better. Gratitude will give you the strength to go after what you want.
Mm.
It's not a, gratitude isn't something where you go, okay, well, I don't want anything else. I don't want to ever, you know, succeed more or achieve more or do more or have more or whatever. That's not what it is. It's truly being grateful for what you have in the moment.
Yes.
And not allowing yourself to give in to despair.
Yeah.
Because so many times what happens when we're not grateful, we have despair. I think one of the saddest things to me is if you go to a place like Disney World or wherever and you see a little kid in the middle of the happiest place on earth crying and throwing a fit because of the one thing they can't have.
Mm.
Here they are in a moment where they have access to everything, but maybe one thing their parent says, no, you can't buy that toy
or you can't
have that extra snack or no, we can't go on that ride. And they ruin the entire experience for everybody because of their lack of gratitude. And you can look at that and say, oh, how silly that is. But we don't learn gratitude at Disney World any more than we learn gratitude on our wedding day or graduation day or on a big day. We train ourselves for gratitude in the daily moments.
Yes.
And I want to encourage you, if you're having a hard moment, I used to do this when our kids were really little, when we were going through the newborn season and I was very tired. Instead of just giving in to how I was feeling, I would stop for a moment and I would say, God, I'm so grateful that I have the privilege to raise my own children. Because there are so many women across the world and through history that just didn't even get this privilege, that did not, because of circumstances, get to raise their own babies. And it never failed that moment of gratitude would reset my perspective and give me strength to get through the night and give me strength to move forward. What is it, what season are you going through where gratitude could really change everything and set you up for a firm foundation of rebuilding.
You know, if you say right now, but Philip, you don't know what I've lost. You don't know what these last 8 weeks or so have done to me. You don't understand. I just want to remind you about what they were walking into.
Come on.
They were walking into devastation, and they chose to build the altar. Mm. They chose to say, you know what? We're going to be grateful for what we have. We have a God who sees us. We have a God who is with us. We have a God that is a protector, and we have a God that is a provider. So I just want to say to you, no matter how challenging, how difficult, no matter what these last few weeks have been like, you can still choose gratitude right now. You can build that altar and give thanks today, even in the midst of the devastation, the confusion, and not knowing what is ahead. You can still choose to build that foundation of gratitude, and we all need to do that. But the story doesn't end there.
It doesn't end there. We move on, and we have another generation that comes.
Yeah, and so after they've built the altar, then they build the temple.
Yes.
Right. So that takes a 15-20 years to build the temple, and then there's more people that move back, some 40 or 50 years later. And it's Ezra.
Mm.
Ezra comes back in, and Ezra was a scribe.
Ezra's a great name.
Yeah, Ezra is
a
great
name for like our fifth child.
Is there anything you need to tell me right now?
No, there's not. I'm just mentioning.
Okay. Oh, all right. Let's get back on Ezra, the Bible story. And so there's Ezra, and what Ezra does. Ezra's a scribe. Ezra has given his life to studying and obeying the law of Moses or the law of the Lord. And not just that, he has also given his life to teaching it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says that the hand of the Lord was on him because of those things.
Yeah.
Because he had built his life on the ways of the Lord.
Yeah.
So he's coming back to Jerusalem. They've built the altar, they've built the temple, but now they are generations.
Yes.
Removed from being taught the word of God.
Right.
So Ezra comes back in to establish this mindset, if you would,
yeah.
This mindset of the kingdom of God, this
yes.
mindset of godly living.
Right.
And whenever we really begin to dive into that, we see that building our life on the way of God is really building our life around the generosity of God.
Come on.
I mean, we go to that one of those scriptures, right, that's hanging up on all the football stadiums, John 3:16, right?
Right.
And it says, for God so loved the world.
Yes.
That he gave.
Right.
For God so loved. God had so much love that he gave. So we know that God gave his one and only son. But as we look through the Bible,
we
see that God gives peace.
Yes.
We see that God gives wisdom.
Yes.
We see that God gives power to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
We see that God gives victory.
Yes.
We see that God gives so many things. I was just making a list earlier about all of the things that the scripture says, and I had to stop. Because there were so many God gives,
yeah.
God gives, God gives. So we see this generous heart of God.
Absolutely. And so, you know, our gratitude is really a response to the generosity of God.
Yeah.
And then as we get to know God better and we learn his ways, what's happening is he is teaching us to in turn be generous.
Yeah.
To in turn stop just focusing on what we need, but look around and see what others need. And that's what we're called to do as Christ followers. That's what we're called to do as people who are building our life on his ways. You know, Jesus said before he went to the cross and before he was resurrected, before he went back up to heaven, he gave his disciples a new law to follow. And this was the law: love others the way that I have loved you. Wow. That's huge, because
yeah.
Jesus gave his life for us, because Jesus shared with us all good things, because Jesus showed up when we didn't deserve it, because Jesus fought against injustice, because Jesus spoke truth even when it was uncomfortable, because Jesus did all of those things.
Mm.
And then he says, hey, you saw the way that I've loved you? I want you to go and love everybody else that way.
Yeah.
That's a life of generosity. And when we are grateful, Philip,
yeah.
and we realize that we have more than enough,
yeah.
then we are empowered to live a life of generosity. And that's one thing that I really do appreciate about our community is during this time, we haven't scaled back on what we've been doing in the community. Instead, we really pushed forward.
Yeah.
We've been doing more than ever. I think it's about 25,000 meals.
Yeah, 25,000 meals, that's right.
That have been passed out. And we're just keeping going. I mean, we're going to be doing this through the summer, making sure that those who've lost their jobs and aren't able to provide for their family have more than enough, that kids don't go hungry in our town.
Yes.
You know, we may not be able to feed all the kids of the world, but we can take care of our community.
Yes.
And we can stand in the gap for our community. And what does that come from? That comes from a sense of, let's be the generous people. God has given us so much.
Hmm.
Let's have generosity. Because when you really have a generous mindset, it's an empowering mindset.
Yeah.
You say, well, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, we will. We'll find a way to stand in the gap. Because we know that God's called us to this place. And He wouldn't call us to this place if He didn't want us to live generously.
Yeah, you know, the Bible says in Romans 10 that God gives generously to all those who call on Him.
Mm, that's good.
But I believe that God also wants us to give generously to all those that He has called.
Ooh,
right? And so God gives generously to those that call out to Him. But for those that He has called, He's called us to be in His family. He's invited us to His table. And I believe that God has called us and commissioned us, as you said, to live generously.
Yeah.
And I love this about Ezra, is that Ezra wasn't just studying the Word of God and obeying the Word of God for himself.
Oh, that's so good.
But it says that he was studying, obeying, and teaching others. So the hand of the Lord was on him.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Because it wasn't just about him and his family.
Yeah.
It was about him living generously. It was about him sharing. And then when we get into the New Testament, that's what Jesus has called us to do. He said, I want you to go into all of the world, and I want you to share this message. I want you to share this message of generosity. Share this message of love. Share this message of grace. Share this message of mercy. I want you to go, and I want you to tell.
Absolutely.
And then Jesus says, and then I'm going to go with you.
Mm.
And so I think this moving with God is all about moving in generosity.
Yes.
You know, I think whenever we, and then whenever we kind of look back and see this progression and we see, man, if we don't have gratitude, it's hard to have sustained generosity.
Oh, that's so good.
You can have a generous moment.
Right.
Like you can feel compelled or see a need and have a generous moment, and you can give generously in the moment, but it's hard to have sustained generosity.
It's true.
Because sustained generosity needs gratitude.
Yeah.
Because you start having generous moments, and then you start wondering, well, I wonder, we start looking back and like resenting the generous moment, like
that's
oh man,
so
I shouldn't have given. Or we start being generous and we're wanting things back in return. Like, I'm not getting any return. I'm not getting anything back.
Right.
And we say, okay, well, wait a minute. Whenever I'm generous from the place of gratitude,
yes,
I'm not giving to get anything back because I've already been given more than I even deserve.
Absolutely.
And so I can give. And when I give generously, I realize that the principles of the word are that whenever I give, right? God says, you're going to receive.
Right.
When I give, God's going to make sure that I'm taken care of. And that's how we know we can live generously.
Right.
But if we're missing that gratitude component, and all we do is have a couple generous moments, we're really missing out because we're not called to have some generous moments.
Right.
We're called to be God from Genesis to Revelation,
absolutely.
Right? And He was generous all the way through. We're called to be generous all the time, not just in these moments.
Right. And it's, you know, we talk about being a culture changer.
Yeah.
Right. And when we are truly, when we live generously, we really impact culture.
Oh, come on.
And it's not just, you know, money. Sometimes people think, oh, well, we're talking about generous with your money.
Right.
If you're a generous person, I don't even have to talk to you about being generous with your money.
That's right.
Because it's just part of your life.
That's right.
Right? So, but we don't want to just be generous with one aspect of our life. We want to be generous with our words, right? You know, we want to be generous with our encouragement.
Mm.
We want to be generous with our time. We want to be generous with our thoughts. You know, I think that as a spouse, it's sometimes our conflict comes because I'm not being generous with my thoughts.
Yeah.
The Jesus way is to believe the best, to hope the best, all of those things.
Yeah.
But sometimes I can be, you know, holding you to a standard that I don't want to be held to.
very true. Yeah,
I'm not being generous with my thoughts. I'm not being generous with my patience. I'm not being generous. I'm not living in the overflow of generosity. And if we really want to be culture changers, we have to choose to get rid of the zero-sum mentality, the us versus them mentality, the false choices of, well, you're either for them or you're against it. No. No, I'm called to love everyone and to give generously with my time and my treasure and all of those things, and not to feel it out of obligation.
I think
we should just kind of work this out, because he was talking about how you live according to the principles of the Word of God. And what people will do is they'll hear us say, give generously, and then they'll say, well, then I don't have responsibility for stewarding what I have. But that's not it at all.
Right.
God is an incredible steward.
Yes.
Of what he gives. And he asks us to be stewards of what we have. I'm not saying go and grab your bank account and empty it, you know, for the 10 people around you who need something. That's not
right.
it at all.
No.
But it's about having a generous mindset.
Yes.
And then being generous in the way that you steward what you have. It comes down to really... Do you believe that there is more than enough, or do you believe that you are fighting against other people so that you can have enough?
Yeah, you know, I really think that whenever we begin to really dive into generosity, just to touch on where you were going before you got choked up there, Here's what I think is that, you know, it's almost like being generous with our compliments.
Yeah.
And I start trying to rate, well, I mean, do they really deserve a compliment?
Right.
Have they really earned that compliment? I mean, I only have so many compliments to give out today.
I only
have so many nice things to say today.
Right.
I only have so many encouraging words to give out. And I'm like, oh, I'm kind of weighing, I don't know. But whenever you break that mentality and you realize, there's no limit to how many compliments I can give out today. There's no limit on how many times I can tell you that you look beautiful.
Right.
How many times I can tell you that I'm so grateful for what you do. There is no limit on those things.
No, you can just keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, right. There is no limit. And I think that when we live with that limited mindset, we feel like, okay, I've only got this amount today. But whenever we realize that we serve a God who has given us so much that there is no limit in him and his spirit is within us, man, I can give every person I meet a compliment today. I can give every person I encounter an encouraging word. I can smile at everybody. I can engage with all of the humans that I see today. Why? Because I am flowing from the place of generosity. But if I am not grateful at the beginning of the day, then I'm going to walk around with this limited mindset.
And that'll overflow into every area of your life.
Absolutely.
Every single area of your life. It's always so interesting to me to see who lives generously and who doesn't, because it very rarely has to do with how much someone has.
That's right.
Even how much time someone has, right? It's a mindset. It's a heart issue.
Yep.
And so let's just apply this to kind of that faith journey.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come to know Jesus and you are just so excited because you find out, God loves me. God cares about me. He's willing to take my sin. He's willing to, you know, help me with all the, and you start that journey with Jesus. I think that it pulls gratitude out of you.
Yes.
Now you have to choose to continue in the way of gratitude. You have to choose to build your life in gratitude. But for those of you who are rebuilding your life in this season, or you're building stronger, you want to have that gratitude as your firm foundation, always going back to it. But then On top of that, you've got to start training through habits, through thoughts, through declarations, through mindset, through learning the Word of God, how to translate that gratitude for what you've been given into generosity towards those who are around
Very
you.
Very good.
Right? It's that faith and works thing. It's that Christ-centered gratitude that turns into culture-changing generosity. But what I love is that's not the end of the story.
No, no, no. Let's wrap it up. Let's put a wall around it right now.
Oh.
Let's wrap it up.
You'll get that in a minute.
Because the next generation comes just slightly after Ezra, right? So now Ezra has brought the word of the Lord. So we've got the temple, the altar, the temple. Ezra is now teaching the people how to follow the ways of God. And then a guy by the name of Nehemiah. The shortest man in the Bible.
You really did it.
The shortest man in the Bible. Did y'all know Nehemiah was the shortest man in the Bible?
It happened again.
Nehemiah? Oh, it's okay. If you don't laugh, I'm laughing for you right now. So Nehemiah comes into Jerusalem, and he noticed, hey, look, the temple has been rebuilt. The way of the Lord is being established. But the walls are still destroyed.
Mm.
We're vulnerable. The gates have been burned down. We've got to do something about this.
This is so powerful.
And then Nehemiah begins to rebuild the wall. Nehemiah, along with the people of Jerusalem, against all types of adversity, people were mocking them, people were making fun of them, people were telling them there's no way that they can do it.
Yeah.
And here's the interesting, none of them were like in the construction business. None of them really knew what they were doing. And so it's almost like the threats that the enemy was making was like, there was some validity, right? They're like, y'all don't know what you're doing. They're like, we don't know what we're doing, but we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that with the Lord's help, they rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem.
Beautiful. What a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
Because the walls are what protect us. And this is what I can tell you. Our faith should be personal. Right? Us coming to Jesus should be so intimately personal. I want you to have an encounter with Jesus. I want you to know him, not just as my Lord and Savior or as the Christian God, but as your Lord, as your Savior, as your friend, as the one who cares for your soul. That's what I want for you. But that's not where the journey ends. Because as we have this gratitude for what Jesus has done, as we have this generosity that overflows into our community and becomes so culture-changing around us, we have to choose to intentionally place ourselves into community.
Yeah.
Because that's where the safety is.
Yeah.
And that's where our character building really happens. See, it's important for us to be together because we are better together. It says it in the Bible. It says a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. It talks about the strength that comes when you are in numbers, when you decide not just to live for Jesus independently over here, but instead to do the hard and difficult work of building a community of people who are all doing their best every day to work out what it means to be a Jesus follower, who are choosing every day to be Christ-centered, to be culture-changing, but also to create community.
You know, it's a beautiful part of the story because as they were building, it says that half of them would be building the wall and the other half would be ready to fight, right?
Wow.
And was protecting them against the threat of the enemy. And it's a beautiful picture of community because it just says, hey, I've got your back.
Oh, come on.
While you're building your culture, I got your back. As you're building your life, I'm here to fight for you. I'm gonna pray for you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna encourage you. I'm gonna be standing right here, and you need to know that you're not alone.
Come on.
I'm gonna fight this fight with you. And then you look to your left, and there's somebody else building right next to you, putting the stones on the wall,
beautiful.
Building the wall, and it's saying, hey, we're doing this together.
Yes.
But we can't do it together if every individual doesn't do their part.
Right.
And so this is the beautiful thing about, I mean, man, I can put my sacrifice on my altar, on the altar together and live in gratitude. But man, isn't it so much more powerful when we realize that we're all coming to the altar together?
Yes.
I mean, I can read the Word of God and obey the Word of God and the ways of God on my own, but isn't it so much better when we do it in community?
It really is.
And then when we start building something and we start building that wall, like, I mean, Nehemiah could have built it all himself. It could take a long time, but he could have built it all himself, but he did it in community. Mm. But it's every person doing their part and the community coming together to be strengthened. And you know, I would say this too, is that in building that wall, man, they had to display some grit.
They did.
They couldn't give up.
No.
There were some real threats, and there were some real moments when they were like, it was on the edge of them being like, okay, this is not working, this is not worth it, we're just going to stop. But they had to keep fighting for what they knew was possible.
Mm.
And I just want to tell you right now, man, there may have been some dark days.
Yes.
There may have been some real difficult times. There may have been some seasons in your life, not even this past season, but season in 2019 or 2015, that, man, they were just really dark times. And, man, you were disappointed. And you're really left thinking, man, I don't know if this really works. I want you to be encouraged by the story of Nehemiah.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to be encouraged by the grit that it takes to just keep showing up again. Keep believing that the impossible is possible. Keep believing that what people told you couldn't happen can happen. To keep believing that you can see the purpose and the plan of God fulfilled in your life. It can happen. And we can be encouraged by the story of Nehemiah, knowing that it doesn't just happen overnight. No. It doesn't happen just because we prayed. The wall didn't just pop up because they had a good prayer. No, the wall happened because they showed up every single day and they kept believing. They kept fighting for the future that they know that they could have. And I think this is important too, as we build as a community. But now let's break it down, Destiny, as we close. This is vital for your family.
Yes.
That in your home,
right,
you build an altar, that you build a place of gratitude,
yes,
that you build the culture of gratitude,
yes,
that you really instill that attitude of gratitude on a daily basis. This is not a Sunday thing.
No.
This is an everyday thing.
Yes.
Where we are going to give thanks for what we have been given,
yeah,
for the life that we have.
Absolutely.
Giving thanks for even the simplest of things.
Yes.
And then we say, you know what, who we're going to be as a family? We're going to be generous.
Yeah.
We're going to be generous with one another.
Yes.
Man, you know, I think even seeing that in our kids, right? And you know how kids are, they're like, mine, this is mine, my toy, I was playing. And we live with this attitude, we have more than enough toys here. We have more than enough things for everybody. We have more than enough in creating that mentality within our children and creating that mentality within our marriage.
I think that's huge.
The mentality of generosity.
Yeah.
And then bringing this attitude of grit, if you would.
Oh, that's
this
huge.
Mindset of grit, of saying, you know what? This is who we are as a family. We are a family who doesn't quit. We are a family who doesn't give up.
Right.
We are a family that we might get offended,
yeah,
but we forgive. We might have some tough days. Hey, weeping might endure for the night,
right,
but we know that joy is coming in the morning.
Right.
So keep fighting through the night because the sun is going to come up. We are going to see the dawn of another day. That's who we are as a family. So I think we can take this in the broad sense of our community.
Yeah.
But man, I think we can break this down to our own personal families, and we can live this right now. So as we either rebuild our families right now, because some things got exposed,
we realize
that some things need to be disposed, yeah, and now we're bringing the proposal of saying, man, we need to build with gratitude, we need to build with generosity,
yeah,
and we need to build with a little more grit. Or if you're saying, man, you know what, I was built on that rock, on that foundation. But you know, I can build stronger in gratitude.
Right.
I can build even better when it comes to generosity.
Yes.
And I can even build bigger when it comes to grit. I'm going to be a little bit tougher in this next season and keep believing for what I really believe is possible.
Absolutely. And you know, what I love about this, and honestly, I think that grit is probably the missing ingredient in many marriages.
Mm. Okay.
I really do.
Yeah, I can see
it. Because it is tough to live with another person.
Yeah.
Long term. And you're going to go through different seasons, and they're going to go through different seasons. And if you really want to be a partner with somebody and care for their soul,
yeah.
which I think we're called to as spouses, yeah. if you really want to learn how to be a servant of all, which I think, you know, includes your spouse, if you really want to, you're going to have some grit.
Yeah,
because I think that it's funny to me to talk to new brides
yeah.
who are surprised that their sweet groom has hurt their feelings. That's going to happen because he's a human. And when I have generosity to go, man, he's going to fail and I'm going to fail, but we're going to have grit to walk together and we're going to get better.
Yeah.
Then I have a chance to really build something that is strong and that is lasting. But even in your own faith, we have to have grit.
Mm.
We have to have grit when we don't understand. We have to have grit when we feel afraid. We have to have grit when doubt comes in and we have to go through the hard work of figuring out what we actually believe, of doing the research, of learning, yeah. of all of those. We have to have grit to get through the season. Yeah. And if all you have is the fluffy stuff and you don't have that grit, that ability to stick to it when it gets hard, then when the storm comes, you may find out that you were built on the sand. It's so important that we understand the importance of grit.
Yeah.
In our daily lives, in our marriages,
yeah.
in parenting, hello, in building community, and in all of those ways. But Philip, really, it all starts for us as Jesus followers with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that I'm not building alone.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful that God has given us the grace
yes.
to be able to learn gratitude
yes.
and live in gratitude. God has yeah. given us the grace
yes.
to be able to be generous. God has given us yes. the grace to live a life that is full of grit, right?
Yes.
To become more gritty as we move forward.
Yeah.
He's given us grace.
Yeah.
And so if you're sitting there and you're going, Destiny, why should I believe?
Mm.
Why should I have hope? Why should I believe that I can build better this time? Because I wasn't, you know, not trying before.
Mm.
Why should I believe that I can build stronger this time? Why should I believe that I can rebuild or that I, why should I believe that? I just want to encourage you. Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit is available for you, and His grace is sufficient.
Yes.
That means that it is more than enough, that it will meet your need, that it will allow you to move forward from this place. But you need Jesus.
Mm.
I need Jesus. I don't want to try to just build a culture-changing community, Philip.
Yeah.
I want to build a Christ-centered
yes.
culture-changing community. And I want Jesus to walk with me every step of the way.
Mm. You know, I think there's a lot for us to take away from this story
yeah.
That we find in the Old Testament. I think there's a lot of things that we can put into play in our life. And I just want to encourage you right now, examine that gratitude.
Yeah.
Examine that generosity. Examine that grit. And you say, man, it's not where I want it to be. Okay, maybe this storm got you, but listen, you can make a change for the next storm.
Come on.
What they tell every golfer is just don't hit two bad shots in a row. You can hit one bad shot, but don't let that bad shot carry into the next shot. Hey, this storm might have caught you off guard. It might have caught you not prepared.
Yeah.
But another storm is coming. Another adversity is coming. Another challenge is coming. And you can be more prepared for that one.
Yes.
When you start putting the habits of gratitude, the habits of generosity, and the habits of daily grit into your life, empowered by the grace of God, knowing that Jesus is with you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.